Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of the Playoff Push podcast and episode 1 of our new weekly NFL recap. Week 1 of the NFL season is almost over as I am recording this midway through Jets 49ers. However, when you're listening to this, the week will be over, all the games will be played, and you will now have all this new information about what happened in every single game, even if you didn't get a chance to sit down on Sunday. We'll cover every single game as well as the fantasy leaders, top 10, which there's a tie for 10th, so technically top 11. But it was a really, really good week when it comes to both games and fantasy performances, so we will cover those now, leading off with Kansas City Chiefs and Baltimore Ravens leading off this season. I was over at Penn State, but it was a great game to watch. Chiefs take it 27-20. Game decided quite literally on the final play. Isaiah Likely touchdown on the final seconds of the game, and it's overturned. So Kansas City wins by a touchdown. Baltimore would have gone for two, so who knows if they would have won, but it would have given them a much better shot. Isaiah Likely, besides that touchdown being reversed, still had a stellar game. 9 receptions, 111 receiving yards, as well as a touchdown. And Xavier Worthy really showed out for the Chiefs. 2 receptions, 47 yards, and a touchdown in the air, as well as 1 carry, 21 yards, and a touchdown on the ground for the rookie, making his NFL debut against one of the toughest secondaries in the league. So Kansas City wins that first game, putting the Ravens in a 0-1 hole that they will definitely get out of. But who knows, that could be important in the playoff seeding process, seeing if they win the division or if they don't. They don't win the division, that might push them down a wild card spot. Who knows what it'll do to the playoff formation. But the Chiefs do win the debut game, and then we slide over to Brazil for Philadelphia and Green Bay. Eagles took it 34-29, a very, very tight game there. Eagles offense was putting on a masterclass. Saquon, 24 carries, 109 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground, as well as 2 receptions, 23 yards, and a touchdown in the air. So a hat trick for Saquon in his Eagles debut. AJ Brown added to the fire, 5 receptions, 119 yards, and a touchdown, giving the Eagles all the offensive fire, the power they need to slightly edge off the Packers. Jaden Reed led the charge for the Packers, 4 receptions, 138 yards, and a touchdown, as well as 1 carry for 33 rushing yards and another touchdown on the ground from that carry. Everything was looking fine and dandy for Green Bay despite the loss until Jordan Love got injured. It looks like an MCL. Will probably be out for a minute, so it's likely that Malik Willis will start week 2 for Green Bay. Prayers up for Jordan Love. He's an elite quarterback. Got a massive contract this offseason and is now already injured. Prayers up for Jordan. He's such a fun guy to watch, and I hope he comes back stronger than ever. Game 3 was New Orleans versus Carolina. 47-10 is your final in that absolute dog crap of a game. Bryce Young showing why he's another failed first overall pick. He looks clueless out there. He looks awful. And the one bright spot of the entire Carolina team, Derek Brown, is looking like it's likely to have a season-ending knee injury. Not confirmed quite yet, but that's the rumor going around. Saints just were piling it on touchdown after touchdown. Jamal Williams got one in the end. If you have Kamara or Olave, you should feel really excited entering this year, because I know it's the Panthers, but still, putting up 47 is no easy feat. However, one negative for New Orleans, Marshawn Lattimore did leave the game with a hamstring injury. Does not look too serious, but is still something to keep an eye on, as he's a crucial part of that New Orleans defense. Derek Carr putting up a great game down there. Rashid Shaheed basically ended the game as soon as it started with a touchdown bomb off rip to put them up a good bit, and the Panthers just never got anything going until they scored their touchdown at the absolute ending of the game. Game 4, Minnesota versus my New York Giants. That game was awful. We suck. There is no redeeming factors. Vikings win 28-6. Daniel Jones, since he signed his massive deal, which when he signed it, I was super excited for it, has 3 pick sixes and 2 passing touchdowns. I mean, you can't make an excuse for it. He's awful. He cannot play football. That's what it is. Vikings didn't have Hockenson. Jordan Addison got hurt, and they're playing with Sam Darnold, Mr. Casper Seer himself, at quarterback. And they blow us out of the water. It's an embarrassing game for New York. It shows that we are not on pace to win anything anytime soon. I'm surprised Neighbors even put up good numbers based on how bad Jones was. He was miserable. Neighbors still put up probably a top five rookie receiver numbers. Lord knows how. He's just that good, I guess. But Giants get blown out. Absolute miserable game. Just awful. And then we slide over to Patriots Bengals. Patriots come out on top 16-10. Ramondre Stevenson, 25 carries, 120 yards, and a rushing touchdown. No passing attack there for New England, but it was fine. They still held off Joe Burrow and the T. Higgins-less Cincinnati Bengals. Never really got anything going on offense. Christian Gonzalez was on absolute locks of Ja'Marr Chase. Did absolutely nothing against that Patriots defense. Christian Gonzalez slowly developing into a very, very elite cornerback. Very good game there for the Patriots, who people thought would have another top three pick again, winning week one against a common playoff contender. We then head to Steelers-Falcons, which was an 18-10 final in favor of the Steelers. Absolute snooze fest of a game, besides Kyle Pitts finally getting his touchdown. So fourth year Kyle Pitts fantasy drafters, you might have some daylight here, but a absolute horrendous game, not enjoyable to watch at all. Hopefully both those teams can pick it up next week, because I thought they were going to be two of the most enjoyable teams this year with that revamped Steelers and Falcons offense behind Russell Wilson / Justin Fields and Kirk Cousins. We're going to move over to the AFC South now, a head-to-head battle between two potential playoff teams, two probable playoff teams, Houston versus Indianapolis. Houston came out on top 29-27. Very hard-fought battle between the two squads, and both quarterbacks looked amazing. Stroud, 24 for 32, 234 yards, two touchdowns, and no picks. Richardson, 9 completions and 212 yards. Are you kidding me? Two touchdowns, one interception in the air for AR5. Just a great performance there from both quarterbacks, combining for just about 450 yards and four touchdowns compared to one pick. Richardson could have had much better stats if he didn't slightly overthrow Adonai Mitchell on two different occasions. Probably would have won them the game as well, not even just the stats. But the Colts receiver that led the charge was Alec Pierce, 3 receptions for 125 yards and a touchdown. A very good showing for a guy who most people might not even know plays football. Just putting up stacked numbers to lead that Colts offense in the game. I hope Richardson and Mitchell get a connection sometime soon, because that'll be fun to watch those two play together well. Now heading over to another high-scoring game, Buffalo-Arizona, 34-28 win for the Bills. Despite losing Stephon Diggs and losing their safeties, they still managed to pull out a win against the Murray-led Cardinals. Marvin Harrison did nothing. I mean, we know he's one of the most important wide receiver prospects in recent memory, only getting one reception for 4 yards, not helping the Cardinals in any way, shape, or form, as Josh Allen performed so well, 18 for 23, 232 yards, as well as 2 touchdowns and no interceptions. A great game there for his weapons, still not being able to necessarily drive the offense, but he picked it up in the second half. Greg Rousseau led the defensive attack for Buffalo with 3 sacks and 6 total tackles to push Murray to the ground several times. Cardinals' offensive line was doing Kyler no favors, letting a lot of Bills get off the edge and charge right at him. He had to make some ridiculous throws to even not get absolutely demolished behind the line. However, the highlight of the game was the kick returners with the new kickoff rules. I'm still trying to figure it out, but these guys made it fun to watch. Brandon Codrington of the Bills had 1 kick return for 53 yards, getting him just past midfield. It was great to watch. And DJ Dallas of the Cardinals, 3 kick returns for 123 yards and a kick return touchdown. I believe it may have been the first of the season. Boy, was it a good one down the sideline, being able to score that touchdown for Arizona. Unfortunately, still would not be enough. Bills do win by 6. Now we get to another embarrassing game, Chicago, Tennessee. The Bears win 24-17 over the Titans, despite Caleb Williams not even throwing for 100 yards. The Bears offense could not work a drive if they were paid to do so. Oh, wait, they are. But the Bears defense was amazing. Two picks, three sacks, and TJ Edwards, the former Philadelphia Eagle, had 10 tackles from the middle linebacker position. And a couple unfortunate spots for the Bears despite the win is Rome Odunze, their first round rookie, sprained his MCL. He will be week to week, hopefully back by week, say, 3 or 4. And Keenan Allen did not have the best game of his career. A couple drops that, would have put the Bears in a much better spot, unfortunately. They still take the win, though, as Will Levis throws some of the most disastrous passes I've ever seen. His own coach said they probably would have had a better shot at winning if they punted every first and 10. So a not good sighting there for Will the Rocket Levis. Then we get a Dolphins-Jags. What a weird game. It sure seemed like the Dolphins' offense was making everything work. Achane putting numbers up, Hill putting numbers up, Waddle putting numbers up. Only two touchdowns to show for it in a 20-17 walk-off field goal win over Jacksonville. And it's just kind of surprising. They only scored two touchdowns. If you watch that game back, everyone was doing their thing on the Dolphins' offense and still were not able to get in the end zone too much. Not even like Tua messed up necessarily. I do not believe he threw a pick. So just really unfortunate driving and having to settle for field goals, a couple important drives. But Dolphins do take a week one win. Jacksonville only gave one reception to Christian Kirk and Evan Engram. So not a very, very good look for the Jags offense, not giving their biggest stars the ball. Hopefully they'll change that next week, as a lot of people, including me, drafted Christian Kirk thinking he'd be a huge weapon in that wide receiver one slot. Seahawks Broncos 26-20 win for the Seahawks. Bo Nix struggles in his debut, two interceptions, really doesn't play that well. Seahawks ne don't necessarily play much better. Do get the win though. There was not much of anything in this game. It was a game, it happened. That's about all I can really say about it. Chargers 22, Raiders 10. The defense for the Raiders was holding the Chargers down for a while, but allowing a ton of points in the fourth quarter, they couldn't keep it going for that long. The highlight of this game, though, however, was a couple ejections. There was a fight between Josh Palmer of the Chargers and Jack Jones of the Raiders, and they were both ejected from the game. So the wide receiver one for the Chargers getting scrappy with a Raiders corner. We'll see where it leads them. Hopefully, no suspensions, because that was really fun to watch. I don't know if anyone saw, but there were videos going around afterwards of Chargers and Raiders fans beating each other up in the stands as the fight was going on. I don't know if it was causation or correlation, but still absolutely crazy regardless. Raiders fan base really not doing themselves any favors. Now we're into the home stretch. Dallas and Cleveland, 33-17 win for the Cowboys. Dak really didn't do much. Neither did Zeke. Neither did CeeDee. And they still put up 33 points. Just a really, really good defensive game for Dallas. Two interceptions and six sacks. Brown's defense was not able to hold up against the mixed attack between all the Cowboys' offensive potential. And the Browns really suffered a big loss. David Njoku had a feared high ankle sprain. It's going to be week to week, but who knows what they're thinking. It was looking very bad during the game. I don't know if week to week is realistic. I think an IR spot might be needed, but nothing of the sort quite yet for Cleveland. They do sign Kadarius Toney, however, after that news. So maybe my least favorite NFL player of all time goes to Cleveland to maybe try to clean up the Njoku injury and give another target to Deshaun Watson, who I believe was the worst graded quarterback in week one. Really not great. Jake Ferguson also week to week with an MCL sprain, so another lost weapon in that game, but it was a fun one regardless. Dallas does take it 33-17. Then we head to Washington, Tampa, and oh my goodness, Tampa Bay, 37-20 win. Jaden Daniels played great in his debut for the Commanders, but Baker Mayfield put up stats that you see only in video games. 24 for 30, 289 yards, and four touchdowns, three of them going to Evans or Godwin. Just amazing stats there from Mayfield. No picks, great ball control, throwing it to the guys who he knows can get it. And it costed the Commanders their first loss of the year, gave the Bucs a big win looking to dominate the pretty weak NFC South this year. Falcons, however, are looking good, so we'll see what happens despite their week one loss to the Steelers. Buccaneers starting out firing on all cylinders. Absolutely amazing game from Baker Mayfield, proving why he's still on this team. Will not degrade Jaden Daniels, though. 17 for 24 in the air for 184 yards, and he also had 16 carries for 88 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. Very good rookie debut there from the Commanders rookie. McLaurin did not get the ball at all, so he really had to spread the ball around, see who he could get open, and still got 184 yards despite barely touching McLaurin. Finally, the Sunday night game, Detroit and the Rams. The Lions do end up winning it in overtime without letting Matthew Stafford touch the ball beyond regulation. Cooper Kupp put up stellar numbers for the Rams, but Jameson Williams did his thing. Five receptions, 121 yards, and a touchdown. Lions halfbacks combined it for 28 carries, 131 yards, and two touchdowns. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs looking to be a two-headed monster in the Detroit backfield this year, looking to absolutely rip up the NFC North and potentially make a playoff run for the first time in a minute. But Cooper Kupp did have a very, very good game. 14 receptions, 110 yards, and a touchdown. Very, very big for Cooper Kupp, guys, especially in PPR leagues. He put up a lot of numbers with those 14 receptions. That's a good 14 points right there. 11 points from the yardage, 6 points from the touchdown. I don't know about y'all. That sounds like 31 points to me. Cooper Kupp making his way on the board with actually 32 sliding into the three slot. We'll touch those in a minute. Unfortunately, though, for the Rams, sustained a lot of injuries in this game, most notably Puka Nacua, who suffered a knee injury. He left the game and is now on the IR, meaning he's eligible to return for, I believe, week 6. Joe Noteboom and Steve Avila, both offensive linemen, also got hurt in this game. So the Rams leave pretty banged up, and the Lions still get the win. And now we finally get to the current game, Jets 49ers. We are currently in the second quarter with 5:34 left to play. Niners lead 13-7. Jordan Mason, 10 carries for 67 yards. Debo Samuel, 6 carries for 15 yards, and the touchdown for the 49ers. Got 7 points already from Jake Moody, 2 for 2 on field goals, with the longest one being from 51 yards away. So not much offense or defense in this game. Breece Hall was the guy to score on the ground for the Jets. Aaron Rodgers starts out 7 of 10 for 64 yards. Only one sack on the Jets side and only one sack on the Niners side. And it coincidentally is Leonard Floyd, who ended up tearing Rodgers' Achilles last year. Hopefully Rodgers is still okay. We can pray. 4th and 5 at the Jets 35. Looks like the Niners will be getting the ball back. But now let's slide over to fantasy for week 1 and the top 10 slots. Number 1, Eagles running back Saquon Barkley in terms of PPR rankings got 33.2 fantasy points. His hat trick game, it was inevitable he was going to be high, and he barely squeaked out MVP of his own game. As number 2 is the Packers' Jaden Reed, scoring 33.1 fantasy points, so only 0.1 less than Saquon's. Cooper Kupp slides into the 3 with 32 fantasy points scored in this showcase between the Lions and Rams, as Josh Allen, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, slides into the 4 with 31.2 points. Baker Mayfield, the air raider for the Buccaneers, 29.7 points for the 5 slot. Jaden Daniels, the quarterback he was against, goes into the 6, 28.2, so 1.5 less than his quarterback opponent. 7 was Anthony Richardson at a 27.1 clip, putting up really good numbers there despite the loss, showing that he's a really good quarterback who can get the ball in the end zone. 8, a really surprising slot here, Joe Mixon, 26.8, really did well in that Texans offense and was able to run the ball absolutely down the Colts' throats. So a great showing there from a guy who most people called washed after last year. Number nine is the new Ravens tight end one, Isaiah Likely, scoring 26.1 points. And we have a tie for 10th. It is Tyreek Hill. And am I reading that right? Chris Boswell, the kicker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 26 fantasy points for Boz after he drained every single one of the Steelers' points, 6 field goals, 26 fantasy points. Boswell owners probably won their games this week and are like, how do they do it? Chris Boswell, that's your answer. Congratulations. So that's our recap for week one of the NFL season. Very, very good one here. If I were to say my top three games of the week, I would go Texans Colts number one, Chiefs Ravens number two, and Eagles Packers number three, with an honorable mention to the Lions and Rams game. That was a very well done performance from both squads. Unfortunately, Stafford didn't get a chance to retaliate in overtime, but it is what it is. Those have been your games from week one, as well as your top fantasy scorers. Maybe try to pick up Isaiah Likely. See what happens. Really, really good tight end in week one. Who knows if Andrews will lead the charge week two and beyond, but Likely, it's worth a bench spot, even if you're not going to start him. Thank you for checking out the first episode of NFL Recap. Episode 7 and the 6th official episode will be dropping tomorrow morning. And we will see you then. Have a good rest of your day on this Tuesday.